76-year-old Michael Bornstein claims he can remember getting a tattoo way back in 1945, the way the needle punctured his skin to put a number on his wrist, a number that's still there. Michael Bornstein was among the youngest survivors of the Auschwitz concentration camp when it was liberated by the Soviets in January of 1945. He was 4 years old. Born in 1940 in Nazi-occupied Poland, after his family was able to delay their deportation for years, he eventually spent 6 months in Auschwitz, where he survived by hiding in his mother's bunk.
My mother always had a saying, Gamze Yaavor, which in Hebrew means, this too shall pass. And when things get bad, she wanted to be optimistic and look to the future.
Michael stayed silent about his experiences during the war for most of his life, but that changed when he saw a picture of his four-year-old self in Auschwitz in those infamous striped pajamas in an archival image from a website denying the Holocaust. As a Jewish resident of the United States for many years, Michael finally decided to tell his story, and with the help of his daughter, journalist Debbie Bornstein-Hollenstadt, he wrote Survivors Club, the true story of a very young prisoner of Auschwitz.
My family all asked a lot of questions, and I was very shy in talking about it. But finally, one by one, my four kids, 11 grandkids, and especially Debola, made an impact, and we came out
with it. We broke them down.
Well, you're a journalist, right? So
I am.
The nudger in chief, I suppose. You got to tell your story, Dad.
Yeah, you know what, though? This is the one story I never thought I'd get. He was pretty insistent that he didn't want to talk about this for most of my life. And so I gave up and I became a journalist instead and told everybody else's story. But finally got the one I really wanted to tell.
Families who are Holocaust survivors have in common the idea that the story is everybody's, that it doesn't just reside in one person. How has that been the case for you?
Well, basically, we didn't talk about it, but things have changed. Holocaust survivors are getting older or non-existent. One of the youngest survivors from Auschwitz, and that made a huge difference.
He realized he needed to talk now, you know, and it's exactly what you said. His story is relevant not just for our family. It's a reminder. And when, you know, I can't remember a better time in history to have this kind of reminder of what happens when bigotry goes unanswered.
What did you lose at Auschwitz?
I lost a lot in Auschwitz. I lost my brother. I lost my father. I lost 3 out of 4 grandparents. So it was major. And Debbie was able to get a lot of the information that I didn't have about my father, my brother. We got information from Yad Vashem, a Jewish museum in Israel, and it made all the difference.
There were a lot of answers, you know, that he didn't have. He was only 4 at liberation. And so one of the reasons he was hesitant to talk, I think, too, is just because he didn't want to misrepresent history. And so to me, as a journalist, you don't stop there. You find answers. So we were fortunate that, you know, Nazis kept good documentation. And the Soviets who liberated him kept good documentation. His mother did tell us stories. One relative in hiding kept an incredibly meticulous diary that his family graciously shared with us. So when you put all the pieces together, you know, getting those answers, there's been closure.
One of the things that we did find, Debbie found, was information about my father. He was president of the Judenrat, which is basically a go-between the Nazis and the Jewish people. And after he saw what was happening, he encouraged a lot of people to hide, to flee, set up soup kitchens. And it made a lot of difference to me that he was a good man.
4-year-olds, having had a few myself, remember things in strange patterns and strange collages of smells, particularly, and tastes, and then just the visuals. What are the strongest memories that you have?
Well, as you mentioned, I was 4 years old, so I'm not sure if it's real remembrance or what people have told me, but I do seem to remember the smell of burning flesh in the ovens. when I'm on a subway now, I think about cattle cars being transported in crowded areas, and I remember that. One other thing that I seem to remember is washing in very cold water, and when I take a hot shower, it just comes to me.
And you remember the tattoo?
And I certainly remember the tattoo. There have been numerous times when I've thought about removing the tattoo. There have been numerous times where I've thought about changing my name from Bornstein to Bourne or Bournes or something like that. But I think memory is important, and this is part of memory.
And the tattoo is part of you?
And the tattoo is definitely part of me.
The other night, we were in Washington, D.C. for a taping, and I was so struck by the fact that a waiter, we were out to dinner, said, "Oh, what are you in town for?" And my dad started to tell him about the book, and he rolled up his sleeve, and he showed his tattoo. That would not have happened 10, 15 years ago. My father kept his sleeves rolled down, and it was kind of struck me as a good reminder of how far, you know, the family's come.
Do you think it's okay to feel safe now?
I feel very, very proud to be an American, and I became a U.S. citizen in 1957, and that is extremely important to me. But I can't say that I feel completely safe. When you look at the alt-right and the anti-Semitism that is going on now, and that really bothers me, and I think it needs to stop. I think someone needs to make it stop.
Michael and Debbie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Michael Bornstein is a Holocaust survivor and author of Survivors Club, the true story of a very young prisoner of Auschwitz. And Debbie Bornstein Hollenstadt is Michael's daughter, a TV news writer. She co-authored the book, which comes out this week.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.